Nerede bir sokakımız? Sessiz. Halde sıkı sokakımız. Sevdiği sıkıntı ya. Ne divana sıra. Evde sakısında bir sınav sor ya. Halim niye sakı bin sakısın? Ne? Sen sabun pekşeyi. So that means 24 years. How old are you? We don't talk about it. So we've met many, many times here. You're familiar with the way I talk. But actually, on Thursday I talk in a different way. And on Saturday, I talk in another way. And on Sunday, still another way. There's different contexts. So in different contexts, I talk in a slightly different way, although the subject matter is quite the same. And also feels more relaxed on Thursday. Why is that? Not very formal. Actually, I talk in a very informal way on Thursdays. Very formal on Saturday. You are used to the way I talk. Some of my friends say that I talk like a haiku. You know what a haiku is? Somebody will say, yes, haiku is a Japanese poem. Very, very strong. I like reading haiku. I have many books on haiku poems. And I like reading them. But it's very hard to understand. To understand a haiku, you need to understand the context of them. Our whole life is actually a context. If you take something out of context, you may understand it not sometimes you misunderstand it. So it's always very important to understand something in the context. For example, since I'm talking about a haiku, I'll give you an example. I read that poem a long time ago. A long time he reminded me the same poem again while we were talking about haiku. So as you know, I'm very interested in poem, poetry, music, meditation, and a whole lot of things too. Science, philosophy, psychology, comparative religion, anthropology, history, and what else. Too many things interesting, too little time, life is so short. But I've done a lot of things in my past life, so I can let go of a lot of those things. And this life I'm trying to do something I've not done very well before. So anyway, poetry page is one of my very dear interests. I think it's one of the greatest achievements of human beings. Poetry is the greatest achievement. Actually, Buddha taught in poems. Do you have noticed that gatha or poems? Actually, gatha really means song. Dhammapada, most of you have read Dhammapada. That's gatha, poem, verse, song. Sometimes I sing gatha. Like one gatha I like very, very much. It's about the quality of the Buddha. Before I say respect to the Buddha, at least I sing that in my mind. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I almost forgot that. And that kata, the first one is Karuna Shintala Hariyam. So I have to study very carefully because I'm not in Burmese way only. So Sada way is very difficult for me. So Karuna Shintala Hariyam. But I make it a song and I sing it like Karuna Shintala Hariyam. I can make it sound even more beautiful. Like making a deep, reverberating voice. And I've sung this gospel for so many times and thousands of times. And every time I recite it, I feel it. Karuna. Karuna. You know the little Karuna? You mean Karuna? Karuna. Compassion. Right. Karuna. Metta. Karuna. We talk a lot about metta before. So, I'd like to talk about Karuna, right? So, Karuna means compassion. But what does compassion mean? Common and passion. When you Karuna, compassion, Shitala means cool. So, the Buddhist mind is cool because of Karuna. Hariya means heart. Karuna, compassion, cool, heart. Compassion is cool, heart. Or any way you can translate it. Because of compassion, the Buddha's heart is cool. But for us, sometimes compassion is so hot. For me, at least, it makes me so sad sometimes. Because of compassion, because I see somebody suffering, I suffer for that person and I say, I'm crying. And I do cry. I still cry that a lot. So, Karuna, Shitala Hariyam. Panya, Sajjota, Vitaka, Moha, Samam. That's a long sentence. Panya, you know Panya, wisdom. Sajjota means light. The wisdom of light. Light and wisdom, they're the same. You know, the Sajjota. Vitaka means to eradicate. To Vitaka. To educate is the right word, actually. And I'm trying to find a more beautiful word. Panya, Pijata, Vihata, Moha, ignorance. Illusion, not knowing, not understanding. Or wrong knowing. Wrong knowing is not knowing. The same. Okay? Panya, Pijata, Vihata, Moha, Tamam. Moha, not knowing, Tamam is darkness. Not knowing is darkness. Knowing is light. So whenever you lose something, your mind becomes bright, you wake up. Some darkness is gone. So that's the joy of knowing. Whenever you know, think about something, it makes the mind become bright, light. It brings a lot of joy to you. Because growing in the dark, so painful, growing in the dark. So painful, so scary. Insecure, darkness makes you insecure. Light makes you feel secure. So wisdom, understanding, is the kind of light that makes you feel secure. So there's no other security actually. We talk about social security. It's a very good social security system. Very good. But not really secure. It won't really make you feel secure. It will give you something to eat. But it will not really make you feel secure. Only wisdom can make you feel secure. Nobody else can do that, even not the Buddha. Nobody, no person, no being, no power can make you feel secure. It's your own wisdom only, which can make you feel secure. So, Panya, Sajjota, Vitaka, Moha, Samam. Panya, wisdom. Sajjota, light. Vitaka, eradicated. Moha, ignorance. Samam, darkness. With the light of wisdom, the Buddha has eradicated the darkness of illusion. Very beautiful meaning, very beautiful. If you dwell on it for a long time, you know that, yes, this is truth. Understanding wisdom eradicates darkness. Not knowing is so dark, so scary. You don't know where you're going, you might fall into a pit, in the dark. you're not sure of your steps. If you know where you're going, you can see it here. You can walk clearly. You're confident. If I am the Jata, we have the Amara Brahman, Sa Mara Mara Loka Purun. The teacher of all the world of human beings, all the world of all beings. He is the teacher of all beings. God, human, and the last language, I mean, one day, Sivitam, Tati, Nihatam. One day means Atirasta. Sivitam means the one who has gone well, or the one who speaks well, it has been him. And I like both meanings. The one who has gone well, or the one who has gone to safety. It has many meanings. So this is the nature of poem. One word can mean so much. And each meaning has its depth. Very deep meaning. So one appears like to the one who has gone well, who has gone to safety. And he spoke well. He has spoke very well. He spoke the truth. If you mean any kind of existence in the samsara, immortality means free. The one who is free from existence. And this is very difficult to understand. Why is it so good? All freedom from existence is good. If you understand this so deeply, you need to meditate on freedom. Only your existence is not satisfaction. You might find some enjoyment or pleasure once in a while. I do enjoy some pleasure once in a while. But still, it's very unsatisfactory because it doesn't last. So I recite this gatha. I sing this gatha actually. Kuruma Sutala Havalam Samya Prajata Vyaka Mahantanam Sara Mara Mara Vyaka Mahantanam Vindi. I have to raise my voice to sing it. Vinde Sivatam, Vadi Vimatam, Arunati Vana Hadayam, Vana Pajya Tavriyata Mahatamam, Sama Ramana Vata Vada, Vinde Sivatam, Vadi Vimatam. It's like a classical music. And if you sing it with real deep attention, including the meaning also, it really brings a lot of joy. And if you know the meaning, it gives you also wisdom to you. The only thing we do with understanding makes us understand things very deeply. And it can change us too. If you do something with understanding, it changes us. Actually, understanding changes us. If you do something without understanding, even though we think that we are doing something good, it might not really change us because we don't understand. The only understanding can have real effect on our life. Not just devotion. If I sing this gatha without understanding the meaning, I might be happy about it. Because I think that, oh, I'm doing something good, I'm doing respect to the Buddha, I memorize the gatha, the song. But when I understand the meaning, it becomes very profound. So even understanding this one verse, one gatha, really deeply, really deeper into the meaning, it becomes meditation and it can lead to liberation too. Very deep in meaning. Take an example, Kuruma Sutala Hadayam. The Buddha's heart, which is cool with compassion. What does compassion mean? Do you feel compassion? Of course, sometimes we feel compassion. Sometimes, not always. So let's talk about the hiking again, back to the hiking. Yeah, I was discussing about this hiking with a friend here, who came in just now. And to understand this hiking, you need to understand the context. So this little hiking verse is, the world of Jews is only the world of you, and yet, and yet. Because the poem is The sitting by sure. The world of G is only a world of G. And yet. What did he mean? He was a monk, a Zen monk. Can anybody guess what he meant? You can guess. How many? Let's make a good guess. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. To understand that poem, we need to understand why he wrote that poem and when he wrote that poem. Then we need to understand his life. At least at that time in his life, when he wrote that poem. This little daughter died, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. Very beautiful, loving daughter, sad. And he was a monk, a very learned monk actually, in meditation. He was supposed to understand the impermanence of all existence. And he was teaching that too, in some ways. So he thought, the world of you means the world of impermanence. How long does it take the jewel last when you see hours in the morning? When the sun comes out, it disappears. So he said, the world of you is only the world of you. He knows that people are born and they will die. The world of impermanence. But this is her daughter. So he said, and yet. What does that mean, and yet? And although I know that things are impermanent, although I know that people are born and they will die, and yet, when my daughter died, I feel so sad. I feel so sad. But he didn't mention these words. And can you feel his sadness? This monk, very learned monk, very old teacher, meditator. He's supposed to be beyond these feelings. So he said, in these beautiful, simple words, so beautiful, so simple, you can't make it more simple. That's the beauty of Haiku. It's so simple. And minimum of words, but with so much meaning and so much feeling. The world of truth is only the world of truth. And yet, these two words, and yet, make me feel so humble in my heart. Only this old Zen monk, he feels it so strongly. And I feel something too. What if I can make my children die, if anyone of them die? I think I will say the same thing. Exactly the same thing. The world of truth is only the world of truth. And yet. Now, when you think it happened to my children, I will say he is very sad. Very, very sad. But you might think, or some of you might think, oh, why should a monk do this? Why should a monk do that? He has studied for so long and he's been practicing for so long. Yes, I'm studying and I'm studying too. But I have a long way to go. Although I've come a long way, I have a long way to go. It takes a long, long time to overcome all these attachments. So, and yet. So I have another long poem, actually. I wanted to talk about this poem a long time ago, but another difficulty. The reason of which I postponed to talk about this subject for so long is that whenever I read this poem, I feel very, very sad again. So this old monk has not yet overcome the sadness. But due to his heart, although he was very compassionate, his heart was very cool. Not me. I'm just a human being like you. I hope I thought a lot about myself. I thank you very much for really listening to me. I really want you to understand the person that I am. I don't want you to take me for somebody who I am not. So you may have some idea of this monk, and you might think that, well, he must be this. Well, maybe you're right, but maybe you're wrong. This is a prayer for children. Since I want to talk about compassion, the first thing that came to my mind was children. Older people also need to, they need to feel compassion for them too. But the first thing came to my mind, the first person, was children. So I had this poem a long time, but every time I read this poem, I feel so sad and I couldn't talk about it. I was afraid that I would get down here in front of you. But I prepared myself for a long, long time, many, many days. And I will not break down. I will not cry in front of you. But if I do, I hope you understand. I'm not sure. Well, this poem is written by Ina J. Seeley or something like that. And the title is A Prayer for Children. Thank you for listening. We pray for children. Do we pray for children? What we do sometimes, we hope that they are very happy, they are loved, they are cared for. We do. For our children, for our relatives' children, for our friends' children, we do think that we grow up with a lot of love, a lot of nectar, a lot of understanding. We pray that we can go through so much difficulties that we went through, that we've been through. Many, many times I pray for my children. I hope they will not make the same mistakes that I made. I hope they will not feel neglected. I hope they will not feel unloved. I hope they don't feel misunderstood. I pray for my children. Quite often, almost every day. This is a prayer for children. We pray for children. Who put chocolate fingers everywhere? This is why I make me feel like crying. Think of little babies, young boys, little girls. They like to eat food so much. In our country, we don't have chocolate. Very, very expensive. One piece of chocolate will cost about 1 liter. So we have brown sugar balls. Natural, steady sugar, brown. It's very good. And we have sugar cane, natural sugar cane, unrefined, brown sugar cane flakes. So when we were young, we ate quite a lot. We baked a big piece and then chewed sweet sugar cane flakes. Just like chocolate. And we get our hands really sticky with sugar. And the whole face sticky with sugar. Sometimes even our clothes. With the sticky hands, you touch here, you touch there, and everything gets dirty. You touch the tablecloth, the gold, everything gets dirty. So when I read this, it reminded me of my younger, my childhood days. I saw myself a young little boy, and I really liked sugarcane sugar, sugarcane sugar threads. I ate a lot, and when I put my fingers everywhere, my mom, she got so upset, so angry. You are making everything dirty again? On the floor and on the table and on the tablecloth and all the clothes. How many times have I told you not to do that? No matter how many times she told me, every time I took sugar flat, I got dirty. I put my finger everywhere. So it reminded me of my childhood. Sometimes my mom, she scolded me so hard. I thought she didn't love me anymore. I just went away. And then I came back and looked at her. How is it? Does she love me? No? Maybe, yes. And then she said, go away. Go now. Go and wash yourself. So I had to go away and wash myself. Thinking, oh, I've done something wrong. You know, kids don't know it. know what is right and what is wrong. So not only me, I know many other people like that now have issues and nothing. So innocent. It is normal. And we are threatening them all the time. Don't do this, don't do that. You have done it again. How many times did I tell you? Do I need to tell you? You make the same mistake again and again. You just think and ask, you're looking. But I don't know. I don't know. So, whenever I read this poem, oh, I feel so sad at times. We don't know each other so much. We don't know. We need to be very kind to them. We need to teach them to do things right. That will make them feel bad. Don't tell them you are dead boy by dead God. So think of yourself when you were so young. When mom or dad scold or maybe hit me, think of the thing. We are still carrying the baby inside. It's a little kid. Hold him in your arms. Hold him in your arms. So, we like to be tickled. We pay for children to put chocolate fingers everywhere. We like to be tickled. Did you like to be tickled when you were young? All of us. Because that's it, that our parents enjoy us. They tickle us, they make us laugh, and then they laugh, and we laugh. We really like that. Do you need to? And think of the babies still around you, maybe at home, or your friend's children, or your relative's children, or your own children. And they like to be taken. They like attention. When you tickle them, they feel that, oh, my friends enjoy us. They love us. They are precious. We stop and cuddle and bring the new pet. We did that quite a lot. It rained a lot in our country. Monsoon rain, very heavy rain. We like to run in the rain. We get ourselves dirty. It's all of that. We stomp in puddle and wind and new tent. We sneak in popsicles before supper. So there's that. Don't eat anything before your supper. Don't eat any food before your supper. My friend told me again and again, don't eat any food before your meal, because if you eat food, then you won't eat the meal. But we always like to sleep. And sleep is hot. Keep on like that. We like to do things. We sleep popsicles with the supper. We erase holes in math world books. Yes, we did. With laser, we rub and rub and rub and make holes. Simple things kids like to do. They just do it. So lovely. So innocent. For them, you know, for little kids, everything is like a dream. They don't have the idea of work, they don't have the idea of study actually. For them, everything is a dream. And I think sometimes we lose that sort of attitude. We lose that way of seeing everything as a dream. Actually, sometimes I tell my friends, life is a game. Play it very well. With intelligence. But don't take it so seriously. Sometimes you take things so, so seriously. It's a game. But play it real intelligence. Who can never find their shoes? Yes, sometimes we keep, we throw away shoes somewhere and couldn't find it. But our shoes, sometimes, couldn't find our socks, and couldn't find our pencils and pens, and what is it? We put these things somewhere and we didn't find it anymore. And we were scolded again and again. To be disciplined. We pray for children who bring us sticky kisses and fistfuls of dandelions. Look, imagine a little kid. Maybe your children. Maybe you yourself did that to your mom, to your father, to your dad. Because you are so dirty. When you go and hug your mom or your dad and you give a kiss, oh, sticky smelly. That he left you. He loved him. He left the church. He was sharing with you. And he brings a sticky ticket and six holes of tenderness. It's like a thick white line. When they bring him. Mom, dad, daddy. Sometimes he says, okay, put it over there. For them it was very exciting. He took some glass flowers into being home. Wonderful to do that. But all the people lose that sense of wonder. We measure everything with money. But this boy had the idea of money. He just loves beautiful things. White flowers. So imagine yourself doing that, taking white flowers, bringing home for a mother, for a father. So lovely. So easy, so tender. You need to be very careful. You get hurt very easily. You are so tender, you're so scary actually. If you feel safe and secure, then they feel that you love them. You really love them. For no reason at all. Unconditionally. If you say, I don't love you anymore, they feel really scared. One of my sisters, her mother, told her that, I'll give you away. And she was so terrified. And also another child I know, her grandparents and her parents told her that, you don't belong to us. Look, you are so different. And this is a girl. She was so young, she didn't know that they were just saying that as a joke, or just as a punishment to make her behave well. You know what she did? She went away and she said something. She was so angry. I don't belong in this home. They are not my relatives. They are nobody, and I'm nobody. And for years, she felt that very deeply, for years and years. And when I talked with her, she told me that I felt that so strongly for so many years, always thinking that this is not my home. I was adopted. You know, keep going on, they see you. They cannot think very much, but they can feel very deeply. More than grown-up people. They feel it very deeply. So we should be very careful when we talk to them, when we treat them. Think about yourself again when you are very young. When even as a joke your parents tell you something, they hurt you so deeply. You carry that hurt for years and years. And it can cause real serious psychological damage. And some of that little girl I know, she was really psychologically very, very damaged. Even now she's grown up, she said, I still can't relate to them as my close relatives. Only I know now that they are my blood relatives, I still cannot feel close. Because she felt like she was adopted, she felt like she didn't belong for so many years when she was young. So when we talk with each other, we need to be very careful. Not just to the young children, even to grown-up people. Even one word can hurt another person so deeply and make him or her feel ashamed and neglected and worthless. So you do that, you can cause a lot of damage for just one word. So when we talk about compassion, it's not just an idea in our head. At first, compassion means, may all beings be free from suffering. That's just an idea. Later, when we keep developing this compassion, it becomes a feeling. We feel for another person. And if we keep on doing that, later it becomes wisdom. Then it becomes complete. Compassion without wisdom is not complete. Because sometimes we think that we have compassion and we hurt and hurt a lot of times because we don't have enough wisdom. So, compassion or nature, having kindness, in the beginning is just an idea, a word, or maybe a feeling. Maybe in the beginning it's just attachment, not real nature. Later it becomes a real feeling, and then later it becomes wisdom. Then it becomes complete. So, to have compassion for another person, you need to be very sensitive to understand how another person is feeling. this moment, when you talk to another person, you have to be very sensitive. How my will affects you. You have to be very sensitive. So to read the signs on the face, as the way the eyes look, so the person is looking at you and please, smiling or looking away, sitting down, quiet, sad, whatever the expression might be. You have to be very close attention to this. So when you become more and more mindful, you become more and more sensitive. When you become more and more sensitive, you become more receptive. You can receive more information. Verbal information and non-verbal information. You can receive that and process that information correctly. When we are mindful, when we are paying attention, then you know how another person feels. So only by being mindful, you can develop the sensitivity, receptivity, and then compassion, understanding. Without mindfulness, just with the idea that I want to do something good for another person, and we force our idea on that person and hurt that person. We must force another person to eat something, or to do something, and hurt that person too. So, to be really compassionate means to be wise and good. Without deep wisdom, we cannot be really compassionate. But to be wise, we need to be mindful of it. Without mindfulness, there could be no wisdom. Without wisdom, there could be no real compassion. So once in a while we see for another person, but sometimes in most cases we hurt another person, especially our family members. Even today somebody came and talked about family matters, and I've noticed that they are not sensitive to each other. They are very dutiful, and that even hurts more. Sometimes dutiful hurts even more. You don't neglect them, you are very dutiful, and that makes another person very painful. So let's be more mindful and more sensitive, then you can become more compassionate. We pray for children to sleep with the dog and belly goldfish. Very beautiful words, but think of it, it's very real. When I was young also, I had cats and dogs, so now here they are cats and they are now my family. And one little kitten with one broken leg, somebody left the kitten here. And it was so scary and confused. And very hungry and cold too. I gave some food and the little kitten came and then touched the kitten, sat her, and it got really disappear. And I took the kitten and took him to my room, a warm place. And it was scary, coming around, like wild. And always trying to get my attention. So I let my hand, one hand down when I was reading. And setting the head and reading also. Sometimes it wanted to climb on my body. So I picked up little kitten and let it sit on my lap. And put my hand on it. And after a while, felt a little bit secure and relaxed. And looking up at me. Then later I felt more secure and went down again. Fell on my bed and slept there for a while. Just like a person, just like a baby, with unbroken legs. So when my little kitten died when I was young, I buried the little kitten, and I told my mom to do some funeral service also. But she didn't take it so seriously. She said, oh, forget about it. But I thought I need a funeral service for my little cat. You know, children think very differently. For children, cats and dogs are persons. They are not animals, they are persons. And one day, my nephew, her dog died, and she demanded that her parents get a funeral service for the dog. And she said she will never have a dog anymore. She felt it very strongly that she lost her brother. So people like that, you know, you need to be very sensitive. They feel very deeply. But we don't take them seriously. We forgot how we felt when we were young. So it's important for us to go back to our childhood and try to understand how we felt when we were young. It's not a joke. Feelings are very real. It can really affect our mind. Arahant, or it's a beauty shade of the personality. But that word, so in pain for children, they sleep with the dog and very gracious. When I think about this, and imagine the little kid bearing the dog, bearing the groceries, and demanding a funeral service for the dog. I can see the little kid, the little kid. That little kid was feeling very sad. Not just little kids, all of us are big kids actually. In some ways we are still big kids, overgrown kids. We see it, we feel very guilty. Sometimes we don't talk about it because we think that if I talk about it, people might think that I'm just crazy. So we keep things inside, although we feel it. Very reluctant to talk about feelings. So it is very important to acknowledge our feelings. Feelings are real. Understand it very deeply. And also understand that other sources feel it very deeply. We are not computerized robots. We are people with feelings. So to understand another person's feeling means to be compassionate. So compassion doesn't mean just ideas. To feel for another person, to understand another person's feelings, and then do what is appropriate for that person. So compassion also is mental, verbal, and bodily action. All three. You can't just sit and think, may all be meeting from suffering. You can just stop doing. What are you doing about it? Say something, do something about it. And we pay for children who hug us in a hurry and forget their lunch money. Keep paying for food. So they run and give us a hug, and then they run on the bus and go, stop, forgot the money. I did that many times. And later on, my sister or somebody will come with a lunch box and some money to feed. And while I was reading this, I was thinking of my sister. She brought lunch for me many, many times when I was young. We pray for children who cover themselves with band-aids and sing off-key. Children sing off-key because they cannot sing very well, right key, off key, but sounds very nice. So also when I was reading this sing off key, I remember myself singing. I like singing very much. Because I was very young, I like singing, I like playing music and singing. I played music and singing. Violin, mandolin, flute, harmonica. So I remember myself singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how wonderful that you are. I remember myself singing that. This little kid is so lonely and crying very little. And I love that little kid. I feel for him even now. When he was very lonely, when he felt very lonely, I can even think now. Oh, he felt so lonely. Sometimes. So don't forget how we felt. And how we feel now even. Then understand in this person how he or she felt. How do you see now? We pray for children who see toothpaste all over the sink. Well, some kids will use toothpaste, but some of your family didn't use toothpaste. But anyway, you see everything everywhere. So you see toothpaste all over the sink. We pray for children who slurp their soup. Think about that. Lovely, lovely kids, lovely children. Lovely young boy, lovely young girl. If you can see it, or even if you can see it, his or her happiness, that's a kind of feeling for him, feeling with him. Or sympathy or empathy, the word, it's very similar to compassion too. Sympathy or empathy, I'm not sure. Compassion. Feeling with or feeling for another person. And understanding. And we pray for those who never get dessert. There are thousands of children like that. No dessert. Just plain food. Because dessert is luxury. You can't find any bread to steal. The hungry, you could look at something to steal and eat, but there's nothing there, to, even to steal. So sometimes in the forest where you plant some fruit trees, looking for some young kids to come and steal. You are hungry. So sometimes you say, yes, thank you, I'm eating. I just planted these trees because I love planting trees. And I'm not expecting any fruit from this tree. We pray for those who don't have any room to clean up. Many people have no room. Just a bad way to sleep. If you can lie down and sleep, some don't even have proper blankets. When it's not that long, you have a kid like that. We pray for those whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser. So when parents love their children, they take pictures, then they take pictures somewhere on the dresser, on the magazine, somewhere the parents can see. But they're monitoring with no parents. Their pictures are not taken. Whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser? There's nobody we can do anything of mom or dad. Often, millions, hundreds, maybe thousands, everywhere, any country in the world, maybe even in this country. I'm not sure, but maybe. So, can we really see what they're seeing? We don't have anybody to call mom or dad. So, and we pray for those who will eat anything. They will eat anything, because because they are hungry. Because they are starving. So sometimes, one time ago, I saw pictures of African children in Africa. They are starving. One old man, he was lying down with a very strong blanket on his body. And suddenly, a children a packet of dehydration salt. And he was trying to reach the person or something. He suddenly took the picture. This person was almost a skeleton. And even also, it's in a National Geographic magazine. The brought the child to the hospital, but the doctor said it's too late. The children, the child is bound. And the doctor can't do anything anymore, just too late. There are people like that, they want to see so much food here. Finally, you know what I did? Like I went into the kitchen and opened the cupboard and opened the container, the bin where you throw the food, and I looked in. So much food there. Enough for 20 people, I think. And I thought, so much problem. What can I do? I can't take this food. But I just took 20 to a thousand. About 20 to a thousand. I'm not blaming for those who have plenty, but I just want you to think about you have plenty and some of them. So this is compassion. Compassion is not just a word you say and say, we all being guilty from suffering. What can you do about it? What are you doing about it? We pray for those who have never seen a dentist. The toothache, so painful, some people have stolen teeth, crying constantly that they can't go to a dentist. Can't afford to go to a dentist. No dentist around. So you know what these some people do? They call the kid something and take a scissor and put the teeth out. That's all they can do. Just these things and come and open your mouth. And then put the teeth, take it out. Sometimes they put some medicine that's burned. You know people like that, they have no medical treatment. You know how teeth is feel. Troubling, you know? Well, and you pay for those who aren't spoiled by anybody. I'm sorry, nobody to scold him. He paid the debt to go to get hungry and try themselves to eat. And he paid the debt to live and move but have no doing. It's the lowest sacrifice that we do. The being of being. Human beings are not born complete human beings. Human beings are born incomplete. We become a real human being, we live grown up people, parents or grandparents, relatives, friends, to look after us, to love us, to treat us with kindness, to become good human beings. If there's nobody to love us, nobody to teach us, we don't become a being of something. Okay? We pay for those who live and move. We live and move. God has no being. There are thousands and thousands of people in life. So I feel very sad when I read this poem. And I can't really say that that is real compassion, but at least it's something like compassion. That real compassion comes with deep wisdom, and it doesn't make you unhappy. But I read this poem and it makes me unhappy. But that's where I have to begin. I can't begin from the end. I have to begin from where I am now. So, I can't do quite a lot for anybody, but if all of us try to do as much as we can, or even for another person, or another drug, or another child even, I think the world will be a better place. If we try. Too much suffering in the world. Why, why? I can see that, I can feel that. People come and I can feel their feelings sometimes. I think sometimes, I mean. And I can feel the sadness, the loneliness. They are trying to touch another person, connect another person. Try to tell another person silently, look, I want you to understand how I feel. I want you to know me. And I want to know you too. Because knowing each other makes us feel very close. And that eradicates loneliness. I feel lonely and you feel lonely too. But I'm sure that we cannot touch each other. I feel that we cannot feel for each other. I feel that we cannot understand each other. Why? We have to think very deeply about this matter. You know, whenever I talk about something, it's something I really feel. Not just words and books. I don't mean that I'm a very compassionate person. I tell you about the last week, sometimes I'm very cold, very dispassionate. But sometimes I really feel for people. So, why is there suffering in the world? One person asks this question, and another person answers the question. I tell you it is. Those of us who answer the question from the author. And if you look at the answer, very interesting answer from the city. He said, he's sitting the plot. Somebody asked him the question, why is there suffering in the world, so much suffering in the world? He said, he's sitting the plot. Just without suffering, the story will be so uninteresting. So much suffering in the world. That's how you have a thing without any suffering in it. You find it very hard to run. You have to put in some problems, some suffering there, to make the story interesting. So I don't know why there is so much suffering in the world, but I know people that there are many more suffering these days. Why is that? I think with a little more mindfulness, with a little more sensitivity, with a little more clarity of our mind, with a little more peacefulness in our heart, we can be more concerned in other places. and be more receptive to all the other things in the feeling, all the time, our mother, or our father, or our brother, or sister, or our wife, or our husband, or a team, or a friend, maybe a stranger on the street or on the bus. If we are calm and peaceful and receptive, we can pay attention. Mostly, we are not calm, we are not peaceful. We have our own suffering and happiness and loneliness so overwhelming that we cannot pay attention to meditation. We have no time for our meditation. We have no place in our heart for meditation. So in order to be compassionate for another person, the first thing we need to do is to pay attention to ourselves, to our own unhappiness, suffering, loneliness, to become more mindful, and understanding ourselves very deeply helps us to handle our own suffering, loneliness, and to overcome to a certain extent at least, and become a little bit more peaceful, more sensitive, more loving, more compassionate. The real love, real compassion, real nectar, real dhammadana comes from some kind of calmness, peacefulness, sensitivity, awareness. Without awareness, without mindfulness, without sensitivity, without faith in our heart, how can we receive another person? If we have to make faith in our heart, we have too much stuff in our inside, not enough faith. So, to become really loving and compassionate, first we need to be mindful and meditate. Can we accept that? That is my point. Because we can't just sit and say, may all beings be happy, may all beings be free and happy. That's just wrong. We really feel that. We really understand that with these systems. Can we really see why we are suffering? Why I am suffering? Why I feel so lonely? Why I feel nobody can really touch me? Why I feel so scared? Can we really understand that? First, we need to understand that in ourselves. Then we will start to understand others. So, with more mindfulness, with more sensitivity, with more clarity, with some, at least some peacefulness, we can make space in our heart for another person. So, I think I took it by 1 hour. Every time I come here, I want to say so much. That's also compassion, yes, yes. I want to need to think more about it, to pay attention. So, that is a little happy point. The world of you is only one of you. And yet, people are born, they die, they know that. It's impermanent. And yet, I think these things suffer so much unnecessarily. Although we will not be able to eradicate all suffering, I think if we really become more mindful, we can help ourselves and we can help others, at least to reduce that suffering. Suffering is a fact of life, but I think a lot of people are suffering unnecessarily. We are causing each other suffering and pain because we are so insensitive. I did also, maybe I will still do that. But at least if I become more mindful and peaceful deep inside, I will do that definitely. At least I can hold that. So today we just be in an hour, pay attention, meditate for a while, and then think of each person you know and see how much you can see for that person. Loneliness, sadness, unhappiness, suffering, whatever that feeling might be. Father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, friend, even strangers. Slowly think of each person, even all those who are here. Well, you see, I'm reluctant to talk about it anymore, but anyway, I said, I need your compassion to you. I need your loving kindness to you. Yes, I need it. அப்படின்னு சொல்றாங்க. Just like me, sometimes you feel very lonely. Just like me, sometimes you want somebody to listen to you. And when you meditate and breathing, there is something you can do, and you know how to do that. Breathe in deeply, breathe out, pay attention to the air coming in, exhaling your nostrils, feeling the air coming in very cool, going out warm, softly, gently touching, so that the mind can find the grip, breathe in, breathe out, and then relax. So when you become more relaxed, you feel more peaceful, then you generate your compassion. So that each person you know, everybody here, at home, at work, anywhere. Thank you.